Morning. Today's daf in Chulin Pei Vav. We are in Pei Hei Amud Beis. We are more than halfway down on the Amud, just finishing up yesterday's discussion in the Gemara. Shechita Shein Aruya. I know it's a common. It's been a popular topic in the daf, but it comes up in the fifth parak and it came up again in the sixth parak. It came up in yesterday's daf. Shechita Shein Aruya means that I shecht an animal and for an external reason I cannot eat the animal. Numerous examples that are given, the animals a trefa, I shecht it for avodah zara, chulam ba'azara. Okay, so in various external reasons why it is that I'm not allowed to eat the animal. If I can't eat the meat of the animal, is a shechita a valid shechita, yes or no? And this, of course, is a classic machlokas. We had the machlokas back in the fifth parak, and we had again the sixth parak. In yesterday's daf, we noted that when Rabbi Yehuda Anasi presented the machlokas in both parakim, so Rabbi Yehuda Anasi did a switch. Back in the fifth parak, so he seems to have favored the position of Rabbi Meir. Here in our parak, he seems to have favored the position of Rabbi Shimon. Now, if you go back to yesterday's daf, you'll see Rabbi Meir is actually name by name, but that's exactly the point. Meaning, Rabbi Meir in our parak is coming out as a shita sayachid, and meaning that the Chachamim, who is Rabbi Shimon, disagrees with Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Yehuda Nasi is giving a nod to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. That is shechita shein aruya lav shmei shechita here in our parak of Kisra Adam. And yesterday we went through the various arguments why Rabbi Yehuda Anasi by Yosef Espino is favoring Rabbi Meir, and by the mitzvah of Kisra Adam is favoring the position of Rabbi Shimon, and that was a good part of yesterday's daf. Another good part of yesterday's daf was the limits of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Shimon says that shechita shein aruya lav shmei shechita. It's not has the status of shechita if I cannot eat the meat. And Rabbi Meir, on the other hand, says, no, even if I can't eat the meat, if the shechita was a valid shechita, so the shechita itself has the validity and the status of a shechita. Good. In terms of the limits of these two positions, so that also was a big part of yesterday's daf. Rabbi Shimon, the Gemara notes, well, let's start with Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir holds that a shechita, shein aruya, is in fact considered a shechita. So what exactly are his limits? So the limits is that the animal, although the animal is not going to be unavailable, but you can't eat the animal. And we noted yesterday, that seems pretty obvious, meaning if the animal's a trefa, so why would I think for a moment that I'm allowed to eat it? And the Gemara asks that question, the Gemara answers that question. And then, now let's go to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says that a shechita shein aruya lav shmei shechita, what are the limits of Rabbi Shimon's viewpoint? So the limits of Rabbi Shimon's viewpoint is what we went over yesterday. And we're going to go back and start from this point in the Gemara. The Gemara describes the we're going to go back to the Gemara halfway down in the Amud Lotzricha. Lotzricha, at the midpoint of Pehei Amud Beis. First word in the line is Eina Mitama Ve'ezezuzu Trefa Sheshachta. And the Gemara now is going to explain a scenario in which we may have entertained in consideration that according to Rabbi Shimon, Eshchita Shein Ruya is not even going to prevent it from being a nevela. So the Gemara gives the following scenario. Let's say we shecht a trefa, which means, of course, that if it's a trefa, it's a shechita she'ein aruya, because I can't eat the meat. And it also, on top of that, happens to be chulam bazar. Detailing, the Gemara quotes the following brisa, shochet a trefa, v'chein ha-shochet v'nimtzas trefa. So let's say I shecht a trefa, or it's discovered to be a trefa. So zev is a chulam bazara, and on top of that, it was chulam bazara. And so basically, the question now is as follows. Did I shecht, with emphasis on the word shecht, did I shecht chulam ba'azara? Now, why is that even a question? I did shecht chulam ba'azara. Yeah, but it was also a trefa, which means I couldn't eat it, which means, according to Rabbi Shimon, it's a shechita she'ein aruya. So, again, I'm going to repeat the question. Did I shecht chulam ba'azara? So Rabbi Shimon matir ba'ana v'chacham emosim. So Rabbi Shimon says it's mutar ba'ana. Which means that according to Rabbi Shimon, even though you did the act of shechita, it doesn't have the status of shechita, and so therefore I didn't shecht chulam ba'azara. Rashi, in fact, writes. I didn't read this Rashi yesterday when we went over this. Rashi writes, "Samati ba'ana deshechita shein aruya lav shmei shechita v'lo karina b'hu chulin shenishchetu ba'azara." It doesn't qualify as chulin that shechted in the azara. Dizvicha ksev b'hu ki yarchik v'zavach tebrichuk machem atazoveach. The limud of chulin ba'azara is predicated on the pasuk of v'zavachta, which means that it's only a violation of chulin ba'azara when you shecht the chulin ba'azara. And according to Rabbi Shimon, because it was a trefa and because it was inedible, therefore the shechita was not a shechita. You're actually allowed to get hana from such an animal. Now the Gemara over here puts together a havamina. Why would I have thought differently? First the Gemara makes the point which we already made, which according to Rabbi Shimon, it's not a shechita. Because eim amidi nevela namilot mitara. And now the Gemara formulates the havamina. So if it's not a shechita at all, vis-a-vis chulin ba'azara, so now we could significantly entertain the idea that you know what the animal now is? It's a nevela. Meaning, we could totally discard the shechita altogether. The shechita was a non-existent shechita. Look, chulin ba'azara, you didn't violate the iser of shechting chulin ba'azara, so maybe now it's mamish a nevela. Like as if no shechita were to happen. So kamash malan. Now we've hit the limits of Rabbi Shimon. So under those circumstances, even where in other areas of halacha we're discarding the shechita, but vis-a-vis nevela, we say that the animal was shechted, and therefore not going to be a nevela. Ad kan. Okay, and the Gemara now, as long as it raised the issue of chulin ba'azara, the Gemara just for a moment is going to be discussing this idea of chulin ba'azara. Amar Rav Papa Labai v'sever Shimon chulin ba'azara daraisihi. Now, what's Rabbi Shimon's viewpoint about chulin ba'azara? Shechting chulin ba'azara. So, interesting, as you probably already figured, every time we mention chulin ba'azara, there's no beferish pasuk that speaks out the idea of shechting chulin ba'azara. Taking a carbon and shechting it outside of the azara, that's shechutei chutz. The Torah dedicates a lot of significant real estate to the iser of shechutei chutz, right? Back in Achremos, the Torah discusses that in detail and at somewhat length. But when it comes to chulin ba'azara, it's really based on a diuk in the Torah. And so there is really a fundamental debate throughout Shas whether shechting chulin ba'azara is an iser daraisa or just an iser darabanan. Where does Rabbi Shimon stand on this issue? Sounds like, because we're having this discussion, sounds like that he holds that shechting chulin ba'azara is an iser daraisa, and the Gemara just simply confirms that's right. Amar le'in. The Hatanan, the Gemara quotes the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon amar chulin shenishchutu ba'azara yisrufu be'esh. If I have chulin that was shechted in the azara, so you are to discard it, meaning it's now disqualified, and how are you to discard it? By burning in a fire. The Gemara in Temura at the end over there, which we're studying part of, describes various psul and various disqualifications and how to get rid of him. Sometimes you burn it, sometimes you bury it. That's the Gemara at the end of Temura. In the meantime, however, Rabbi Shimon says, Chulin Bazar is to be burnt. V'chein chai shenishchutu bazara. And Rabbi Shimon says, and I'll go one step further, not only is that true for Behema, it's also going to be true for a Chaya. Now, Chaya, of course, is perfectly ineligible to be brought as a carbon under any circumstance. Now, if I shecht a chaya, which obviously is not a carbon, in the azara that also needs to get burnt, how does that make sense? So the Gemara is going to make sense of it. Oh, because the shechting of a behema in the azara, that's an iser daraisa. So then what would shechting a chaya be? That's a gzera darabanan. Good, I hear that. So the Gemara says, but if the shechting of a behema chulin in the azara to begin with is only an iser derabanan, so he gufa gzera v'ana nekam v'nigzer gzera l'gzera, so now you're going to attach another gzera derabanan, not to shech the chaya in the base of Mikdash as well. That's a gzera l'gzera, and that far we want to go. So basically, by putting together the idea that there's a gzera derabanan on a chaya in the azara means that the shechting of a behema in the azara must be an iser daraisa. Okay, Gemara. I'm sorry. Let me follow through. Come to me afterwards. I'll address. So where do we stand right now? We have basically wrapped up our discussion of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Meir, a shechita, a shein aruya, whether it's considered shechita, whether it's not considered shechita, and the Gemara now is going to put it into practice. Rabbi Chia nafalei yaniva bekitna. Rabbi Chia had the following problem: an infestation of worms in his clothing. He had linen clothing, and there were moths in it. So also coming to Rebbe. So now he goes to Rebbe and he says, basically, Rebbe, so I need what is the equivalency of mothballs. But back in the day, so instead of mothballs, so what did they have? So they had blood. Blood apparently was a great way to just simply get rid of moths. And so what he wanted to do is he wanted to shecht an animal and he wanted to use the blood. But of course the problem is that if you're shecking an animal, it's a chay or an ov, so you can't take the blood, you have to bury the blood. Now, by the way, just as an interesting aside, when you shecht, this is a general question, when you shecht a chayer or an oaf, do you have to cover all the blood? Do you have to cover just a portion of the blood? So that's a good question. I'm leaving it a little bit open-ended. I apologize. But it sounds like from our Gemara you have to cover all of it, because otherwise just cover a little and use the rest. But anyway, he wanted the blood of an animal. But the problem, of course, is that he has to cover the blood. What is he to do? So Amar Leish Kol Ufa V'Shachar Abu Bisa Demaya. So he says basically what you're going to do is you're going to shecht the bird over a little pool of water. Rashi describes the water over here is where the flax is soaking, and basically the moths are going to make an exit, make a beeline out of there. So the morech dama v'shavikle, the moth is going to smell the blood and the moth is going to leave. Good. So this is the moth extermination just a short 1700 years ago. Now the problem is, hey chavad hachi, the Gemara says, now wait 1 second, you're shechting a bird and using the blood, but we have a mitzvah of kisui adam. The Mishnah, which we saw earlier, describes the following. What if you shecht and you want to use the blood, and you're shechting either a chai or oaf? So can you just simply say, okay, I'm not going to do the mitzvah of kisui? So the Mishnah says that's not an option. Kisui adam is not optional, it's obligatory. So unfortunately, well, no, it's a mitzvah, so it's not, I don't want to say unfortunate, but for you who want the blood, there's no solution. Ah, so Kate said, yaseh, but the Mishnah says, but if you really want the blood, I'll give you a solution. Oh, no, crow, oh, crow. So what you're going to do is either nechira, akira, meaning you're going to kill the animal without a shechita. And by killing an animal without a shechita, it is not going to require kisui adam. So the Gemara says, kiyaseh, Rav Dimi amar tzei trof. And so when coming in front of Rav Dimi, he says, okay, so here's what you're going to do. You want to get rid of your moths? So what you're going to do is you're going to tarfen up the animal. So tarfen up the animal, meaning make the render the animal treif. In this case, it's a bird. and as a result of that, the shechita is not going to require the mitzvah of kisui adam. Now amar leik yaser rav and amar tzei nechor. Now we have a couple of versions of exactly what were the instructions that Rebbe gave in terms of what to do with the bird, so that when the blood comes out, I'm going to be able to avoid the mitzvah of kisui adam. In the first version that we read just a line earlier, it said, say terof, render the bird a treifa. In the second version, it says, say nechor, which basically means kill the bird without shechita. Amar le lamanda amar tzei terof, my tamal amar tzei nechor. So the Gemara says now, is there significance in either version? Let's go with the first version of tzei terof. Is there a reason why he sided with this version as opposed to Tsei Nechor? And the Gemara makes the following suggestion. Well, maybe the shechting of a bird is not in Dinda Araisa. This reminds us of what we learned earlier in the Masechta. There's a basic machlokus of whether Shechitas Of is Minatora or Eina Minatora. Certainly an animal needs a Shechita. A bird, does it require Shechita? The answer, of course, is yes. Unequivocally, the answer is yes. But is that a dinda araisa, or is that a dinda rabbanan? So that is subject to a machlokas tanaim, and the Gemara is suggesting right now, it may be that Rebbe's of the opinion that the shechting of a bird is not a dinda araisa. Now, if that's true, so what does that mean now? That if I kill it other than shechita, min ha-Torah, that's considered shechita, and therefore there would be a requirement of kisui adam. And by the way, it begs a wonderful question, which we spent a little bit of time earlier discussing. If a shechting of a bird is not required in the Torah, how do you render a bird an avela? Okay, good. Everyone ponder. Good. Okay. Anyway, so the Gemara is suggesting maybe that's the issue. But Atanya, the Gemara says that may be the issue, but it's not, because we know otherwise. Rebbe Omer Kasher Tzivitzichem Lamesh in Stava Moshe Alavesh Valakan Valrov Echad Ba'of Valroshan Bebehema. We know that according to Rebbe Yehuda Anasi, there is a mitzvah d'oraisa to shecht animals and birds. So that's not the consideration. So the Gemara says, so lo mi bai kamer. So as we turn to the top of Pei Vav Amud Aleph, so when Rabbi Yehuda Anasi said Tzrei Trof, it was not to the exclusion of Tzrei Nechor. If you want to kill the bird to avoid the mitzvah of Kisur Adam, you could do either one. So what Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was just simply saying is, lo mi bai. The style of, it goes without saying. Lo mi bai, say, nechor delav shechita iklal. Look, if you're going to just kill the bird by doing no shechita whatsoever, that of course is going to be a good way of avoiding the mitzvah kisu adam. Aval tzei terof e meshechita shein ruya, shema shechita, v'li bai kisui, kamash melan kedur b'chia bar abba. So the Gemara says, but I'm giving you the bigger chiddush. And the bigger chiddush is, we tarfen the animal, in this case the bird. Now, I shecht the bird. I shecht the bird, which is a trefa. Is that going to require kisur adam? So let's recall. Machlok is between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Meir. But also on top of that, you have to additionally recall, where does Rabbi Huda Nasi stand on the issue? Depends which topic you're asking him. If you're asking about Osav Espino, he favors Rabbi Meir. If you're asking about kisur adam, he favors Rabbi Shimon. That's yesterday's daf. So the Gemara now points out that the version of Tzei Terof is telling us that for the mitzvah of Kisu Adam, he's favoring the viewpoint of Rabbi Shimon, and therefore you avoid the mitzvah of Kisu Adam. So, Kidder Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, period. Now let's go over the other version. In the other version where Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was advising how to get blood out of a bird without requiring Kisu Adam, so Ulaman Damar Tzei Nechor, so now we're going to go over the version of you need Nechira. Nechira, just simply the stabbing, killing of the animal, right? We discussed Nechira way back in the beginning of the Masechta, Daf Yud Zayin, right? Basar Shechita, Basar Nechira. Nechira by an animal just simply means to take a knife and put it through the nostrils and just basically cut laterally down the neck of the animal, meaning not Shechita. By a bird, right, it basically means killing the bird without Shechita. So my time alo amar Tzei Terof. Now, is there a reason why over here Nechira as opposed to making the bird a trefa? So the Gemara says, well, maybe Rebbe is siding with Rebbe Meir, that a shechita shein ruya is still considered shechita, and therefore, if you tarfen the bird, and then you shechted it, it's going to require kisa adam. But the Gemara says, but we just went over the fact that we know differently. Go back to yesterday's daf. When it comes to kisa adam, Rebbe Yehuda Nasi favors the opinion of Rebbe Shimon, that a shechita shein ruya lav shmei shechita. And so therefore, if he tarfened the bird up, it would not require the mitzvah of kisu adam. So once again, lo mi bai kamar. So the Gemara says, great. So if the version of Rebbe Yehuda Anasi's instructions were to do nechira, again, we could say the same thing. It's not to the exclusion of tarfening the animal. Lo mi bai. Let me buy tzei tzorof t'shchita shein arulah shmei shchita avat tzei nechor ema in shchita lof min ha-Torah u'nechira so zui shchita so v'li bai kisui kamash malan kasher tzivisicha. Again, the Gemara just is going over the same havamina we had a moment earlier. I might have thought that according to Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, if I tarfen the animal and I shecht it, that for sure doesn't require kisui adam, as we just got done saying. But if I do nechira to the bird, maybe Rabbi Yehuda Anasi is of the opinion that a bird does not require shchita min ha-Torah, which means that any which way we kill the bird, that is considered a valid shechita viz min haTorah, which would require the mitzvah of kisur adam min haTorah, and so therefore you can't avoid the mitzvah of kisur adam. That's the havamina, and the maskana is no. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi is of the opinion that shechita is true both by animals and by birds min haTorah, and that means that if I kill a bird not through shechita, it is not require the mitzvah of kisur adam. Good. Uminaf ole yeniva bekitna. Now the Gemara notes that we have linen falling on the flax of Rabbi Chia. And the Gemara says, really? That really happened? V'hamer Avin bar Avin, v'hamer l'hamer Rabbi Avin bar Shiva, v'shalom b'nei Agola, when we came back to Eretz Yisrael. Now it's interesting. Generally speaking, when we came back from Eretz Yisrael to build the second base of Mikdash, so there was, it was not that exciting. But the Gemara over here is not talking about that aliyah, not the national aliyah to build the second base of Mikdash. We're talking about a much later aliyah historically, and that is the time that Rabbi Chia and his family went from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. So around the time of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, sometime in the second century, so Rabbi Chia took his family and made aliyah. And we see throughout the Gemara, various Amoraim, and in this case a Tana, left Bavel and went to Eretz Yisrael. And from that point going forward, Rabbi Chia had tremendous zechusim. And the zechus of Rabbi Chia that he brought with him to Eretz Yisrael, pasku azikim, the hazaos, there was no longer any kinds of thunder or earthquakes, ruchos v'ra'amim, hurricanes other forms of lightning and thunder. Below hichmitz yenam, wines didn't spoil. Below lakach pishanam, and the flax was not infested with any kinds of worms. And how come? How did Eretz Yisrael merit such sechuyos? And that is through the ascent of Rabbi Chiya and his family. So now what comes out, the Gemara says, is that, look, the discussion regarding how to avoid Kisra Adam by a bird and Rabbi Yehuda Anasi's advice to Rabbi Chiya, all wonderful. How did it happen that Rabbi Chiya got infestation of his linen when meanwhile it's Rabbi Chiya? And these things don't happen to the entire Jewish people. And the Gemara gives a profound answer. And the Gemara says, Kimahanyu zuchusayu a'ama adidulo. Yeah, the zuchus of Rabbi Chiya work for the world, but not for him. And kid Rav Yehuda Amarav, Dam Rav Yehuda Amarav, b'chol yom v'yom bas kol yotzes v'almarish kol olam kulo nizam b'shvil chanina b'ni. The Baskel comes out every day and declares that the entire world is sustained based on the merit of Chanina, my son. Now, as far as my son is concerned, so he's happy and content. Now, I use the words happy and content. I'm going to be fair. Rashi does not say happy and content. Right? Rashi actually writes, Bisparnes Bitsar Uvit Simpson. But in other words, my son Chanina does not need anything more than just simply Chruvim. Right, the fruit that we tried just a couple weeks ago, actually a month ago now, okay, 1 month ago. So right, it's still I feel is inedible, but apparently it's not. So Me'er Shabbos, Le'er Shabbos, from 1 week to the next, and that's enough. So in other words, the nature of a tzaddik and the zechuyos that he provides for the Jewish people, so he basically is a conduit of those zechuyos. But the conduit himself, the tzaddik himself, so he does not necessarily benefit. And I can even add, he does not need to benefit from the zechuyos that are coming through him. So was Rabbi Chiya's clothing infested by moths? And the answer is yes. What about the zechuyos of Rabbi Chiya? That's also correct. Meaning, yes and yes. Okay. Now's a good time to pause. A question. Yeah, Danny. Right. So, in other words, it's baal tashchis when it's purposeless. Anytime there becomes a purpose to it, it is not baal tashchis. Baal tashchis is not. There's not one way to benefit from any a particular animal. And if this serves for you and if this is a benefit for you, simply not baal tashchis. Again, tsar baal lechayim is not an objective iser. In other words, you're shechting an animal, so you're killing the animal. Tzar baal lechayim means same basic idea.
There's no purpose by gutting your animals.
Yeah, he wants the blood.
Yeah, but
you need blood.
Well, but this animal would be a tumor nevela.
Okay, but in other words, but the point is that again, they're good questions. But baal tashchis and tzar baal lechayim are not just these objective values. They become subjective because if there is a need, if there's a purpose, so then these considerations generally go away. Okay, more on the topic of Kisui Adam. So again, the rule is very simple. You shecht an animal, you have to cover the blood. Okay, I know it's oversimplification, but what we're going to be going back to is the definition of what is considered Shechita. Now, in other words, we know that we already went through the first two prakim of the Masechta, so we know what is included and incorporated into a Shechita, and we also remember it's the first Mishnah of the Masechta. If I have a Cherishot V'Katan, anyone who is mentally incompetent, who does the Shechita, so for sure, you cannot eat the meat of the animal. Meaning, if the shechita is not a good shechita. We discussed back in the first Mishnah of the Masechta, Omid al-Gabav, what if you have supervision, an adult supervising the shechita, and sees that the shechita went well. So b'diavad, the shechita is going to be a good shechita. We had also a discussion going all the way back to the beginning of the Masechta. Okay, now I'm just flexing my memory, but good. In other words, right, that Torah is meant to be remembered. Right, I need to remember more of it. So there was a discussion on the first Amud of the Masechta, whether or not having a child shecht with supervision, is that lechatchila, or is that only b'di'evin? And Tosfos discussed that all the way in the beginning of the Masechta. So second Tosfos. Anyway, but certainly, here's what we could say for sure. If anyone who's mentally incompetent were to shecht an animal without supervision, so you can't eat the meat. But now we're going to go in the other direction. Meaning, are we saying for sure that the shechita was no good? Or we're just simply saying we don't know. Now, in terms of Kisui Adam, that makes a big difference. Because If we're saying for sure the shechita was no good, so then there's literally no need for kisur adam. But if we're saying we don't know, so vis-a-vis the meat, obviously we're not going to eat it. But at the same time, though, if it's a chayer oath, so we do the mitzvah of kisur adam, it's a suffix whether the shechita is a good shechita or not. So then we should do kisur adam. But then it does result in a bit of an issue. Because if we're going to be doing kisur adam, what's the casual observer going to say? Ah, the shechita was a good shechita. All right, so you do run that risk. But the Mishnah over here is here to discuss now what exactly is the status of a shechita done by somebody mentally incompetent and there was no supervision. Or versus there was supervision. Mishnah begins. Pei vav amud aleph, halfway down the amud. If I have any one of these people who are mentally incompetent, let's define. I know we all know. Cherish is somebody who is a deaf mute. Shota is somebody who is deranged. And a katan is a minor who is also deranged but has got a great prognosis. And we all know. Sorry. A little too blunt. Okay, the. Good. So the. V'achim rono son. However, when all these people shechted, so there was adult supervision. So chayv l'chasos. So good. So in other words, the shechita was a good shechita. And this follows what we learned in the beginning of the Masechta. Now, beinan levein atzman, but let's say they shechted on their own. Good. In other words, no supervision. So patim l'chasos. So there is no obligation to do the mitzvah of kisur adam. What the Tanakhama of our Mishnah is saying is that when they shecht and there was no supervision, it simply wasn't a shechita. V'chein l'inyan osav es beno. Furthermore, continues the Gemara, the Mishnah, what about the mitzvah of osav es beno? Am I going to be precluded from shechting the offspring on the same day? So the sheshecht v'chein ronostan osav l'shchot achrein. Beinan l'vein atzman. And so for osav es beno, it's going to be the same. Meaning, if I had an adult supervisor, then that means the shechita was a good shechita by the mentally incompetent person. And then, if there was no supervision, so what you would expect the Mishnah to say is, so if these people, chereshot v'katan, were to shecht if were to shecht an animal, and there was no supervision, so would I be able to shecht the offspring on the same day? And the answer should be, it's okay. And the Mishnah is about to say that, but here comes a little bit of a curveball in the Mishnah. Rebbe Meir Matir Lishchot Achareihem. So here now comes out to be a machlokus. Rebbe Meir says it's okay. The Chachamim Osrim, and the Chachamim say that it's Aser. Umodim Shim Shachat She'enu Sofek is Arbaim. However, in full agreement that if you were to shecht the offspring on the same day, so you're not going to get Malkus because we don't know if the shechting of his mother was a shechita or not. It was shechted by a chereshot v'katan, and the Chacham's position is, we do not know definitively. Could have been a good shechita, could not have been a good shechita. So when you're shechting the offspring on that very same day, you're not going to get malchus. Rashi writes over here, hasrat seif asafiki. But on the side of the Rashi, aveira safiki. Meaning, we just simply don't know if the person violated an aveira, because its mother may or may not have been shechted. Now, obviously, the way the Mishnah presents itself is interesting. By the mitzvah of kisur adam, the Mishnah says it flatly, no machlokas, that if I had a mentally incompetent person shecht an animal with no supervision, by kisur adam, the Mishnah says flatly, it's not a shechita. It does not require kisur adam. But meanwhile, in the same scenario regarding the iser of osav es beno, so the Mishnah brings in a machlokas between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. Rav Meir holds like the anonymous first position of the Mishnah, that it's not a shechita bechlal, and the Chachamim are in a state of suffix. What happened in the Mishnah by the Bekisu Adam, there's no machlokis, and by Osav Es Beno there is? Okay, so the Gemara discusses that very issue. V'rabanan, Mishnah Reisha de la Pligi, Mishnah Seva de Pligi. Yeah, what just happened in the Mishnah? So Reisha, Iyamin Echayvin Lechasos. So the Gemara attempts now to give an answer. And first, the Gemara suggests that in the Reisha, Iyamin Echayvin Lechasos, Ami Shechita Ma'ayasehi. Ah. Now we get to the consideration which I alluded to back in the Mishnah. You see, here's the problem. The problem is that if kisur adam was to be done, if we were to cover the blood of this questionable shechita, what's the viewer going to think? He's going to think it was a good shechita. V'asal amecha m'shechita son. So the Gemara says, and so therefore you're going to eat the animal. So seifa nami. So the Gemara says, okay, Let's go to Osav Espino. Let's see how this plays out. Came into Kamer Rabbanan Asal Shchora Chareihem Arm Rishchita Malyasihi Vasal Amechem Rishchita San. So the Gemara says, okay, so let's say I have these, any one of these mentally incompetent people shech the mother, unsupervised. Good. Now we go to the Rav, our local Rav, and we say to our local Rav, can I shech the offspring on the same day? Well, if the answer is no, and even though the answer is no because of a suffix, well, people, again, people are going to generally just take walk away with the answer. Well, the answer was no. Oh, if the answer was no, you know why? Oh, I know why, because the mother was shechted. And that shechita was a valid shechita. So if you're looking at the effects of what were to happen if I cover the blood and the perception that it creates, aren't we going to have the same effect by Osav Espino? Once the Rav tells you that you can't shech the offspring, people will think, well, if I can't shech the offspring, it's because the mother shechita was a good shechita. So the Gemara says, well, not necessarily. Sefer Amri Bisra Delo Kami Baile. So the Gemara says, well, you know, if it's a question of perception, let's go to the second case of Osav Espino. You know why we didn't eat from that first animal? Just not interested. No, it doesn't necessarily mean or be perceived that the shechita was a good shechita. So the Gemara says, fine. Reishanami. Wait, 1 second. Let me just finish. Reishanami Amri Lenaker Chatzir Hutzarech. So the Gemara says, well, I could say the same thing by Kisar Adam. Meaning, if it's a question of perception, if let's say I shechted an animal in my yard, and I cover the blood. Could be, I'm not covering the blood because of the mitzvah of Kisur Adam. Just happens to be, I like to be a little bit neat. And I don't like pools of blood just collecting on my front lawn. So Shachar Bashma, Michael, and Maimer of the Gemara says, okay, but you're not always shechting on your front lawn. Let's say you shecht by some sort of garbage heap. Balimlach, Michael, and Maimer. Or let's say you're asking a shayla. And the Rav says to you, you have to cover the blood. So once again, we walk into a situation where the perception that's going to be created is that the shechita was a valid shechita. And so we right now cannot see a difference between, well, hold on a second, let me just read one more line. And the same thing is true regarding Osav Espino. Meaning if I'm going to the Rav and I'm asking, what do I do? And the Rav were to say to me, well, in other words, first the Rav thinks to himself, I don't know if the shechita was a good shechita or not, it's a suffix. Okay, so you know what? Do Kisur Adam. Again, the perception now is going to be, oh, the shechita must have been good. And if the Rav tells you, I can't shech the offspring, once again, I walk away thinking, oh, it's because the shechita was a good shechita. So in both scenarios, really what's going to happen is that because of the suffix, so what's going to end up happening is an erroneous perception that the shechita was a valid shechita. El Rabbanu Kula Milsa Pligi V'Natcher Lula Rebbe Meir Ad Demasik Leila Milsa V'Hadda Pligi Elavei. So finally, the Gemara comes around and says, okay, there really is no difference. There's no difference regarding the psak of Kisur Adam and the psak of Osav Espino. Truth of the matter is that by Kisur Adam, that was Rav Meir talking. By Osav Espino, that we know that's Rav Meir talking. And the Chachamim are arguing on both points. Meaning, over here, what we have is a very basic machlokus. These mentally incompetent people shecht an animal, and now what? According to Rav Meir, we say definitively it was not a shechita. Therefore, there's no Kisur Adam requirement. Therefore, there's no Osav Espino prohibition. As opposed to the Chachamim, what do they say? Suffolk. We simply don't know. And so, therefore, for Kisur Adam, cover it to be Machmir. I, the perception that it creates, I don't. That's going. It's 1 second. That's going to be a problem. In terms of Osav Espino, again, Suffolk. So don't shech the offspring on the same day. And again, the perhaps erroneous perception that it creates. Again, the Gemara considered it, but according to the Chachamim, it's a suffix, and therefore we're going to be machmer. Abracha, I don't know. I don't think so.
Why did a person do shechita without needing the meat?
Where?
One of the things is that they're not going to make a mistake because they say it's the shechita, but he doesn't need the meat. That's why he's not.
Well, but that's not here. Wait. You're going back earlier?
Yeah.
Okay, so come to me afterwards. We'll talk after. Okay, Rabbanu Mishna Reisha Dol Pligi Mishna Sefer De Pligi. Gemara now wants to know. Oh, sorry, we just did all that. Sorry, Bishlam Rabbanan. Okay, Ampei Vavam and Alef towards the bottom of the Amud. So according to the Chachamim L'Chomra, so I understand the Chachamim, meaning we simply don't know. You had a mentally incompetent person shech the animal. Was the shechita good? So could be, meaning what is shechita? I mean, we know. We go back to the first two prakim of the Masechta. But it's a physical action that even though the person lacks the requisite mental competence, but it could be that the shechita went well. So to formulate a svara for the chachamim, it's not that hard. Could have worked. Shechita could have been good. Could have not been good. We simply don't know. But El Rabbi Meir, my time up. But for Rabbi Meir, who's saying he knows definitively the shechita didn't go well, like how did he arrive at that conclusion? What's the svara of Rabbi Meir? I'm Rabbi Yaakov, I'm Rabbi Yochum, Mechayev, Haya Rabbi Meir, Al Shechita Samishim Nevela. So Rabbi Meir says that one that if any of these mentally incompetent people were to shecht, so the one is going to be subject to Malkus. Malkus, by the way, not for creating the Nevela. There is no Isser for creating Nevela. Of course, the Malkus is for eating the Nevela. Meaning, Rabbi Meir says, I know for sure the animal is a Nevela. Now, my Taima, good. By the way, we haven't learned anything new yet. We knew that. But why? So, Amar Rabbi Ami Hover Rov Maaseh Mukukalim. So, the Gemara over here now predicates Rabbi Meir on the premise of Rov. Look, the vast majority of times you have any one of these mentally incompetent people try to do something, and it's unsupervised, majority of time, it's not going to go well. And so what Rabbi Meir over here is predicated on is the principle of Rov. And then, of course, you have to wonder, and the Chachamim disagree with this Rov? Or maybe there's some counter-pressure against the Rov? It's a very worthwhile consideration.
What about the
Gemara is going to ask that question. Are you mechavin? So Amalei Rav Papa Rav Huna Bereid Rav Yeshua Amalei Rav Huna Bereid Rav Yeshua Rav Papa Ma'ir Rov Afilu Miyonami. So the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. For a mayor, we're giving the explanation behind Rav Meir that's predicated on Rov. The Gemara says, even if it wasn't Rov, what we have over here is a, let's say it's a miut. Now we know Rav Meir throughout all Shas, the Rav Meir Chayish L'miyuta. So throughout all Shas, Rav Meir is Choshish L'miyuta. Now consider over here, by the way, this point in of itself is insufficient. Everyone has to think this through. Even though Ramir's choshesh l'miyuta, but think about the language. He's concerned about a miut. A miut, according to Ramir, is not going to dictate the reality. It just simply means it has to be taken into consideration. Fine. So even if we had a miut right now of the cherishot of a katan whose shechita is not a good shechita, that doesn't mean definitively that the animal's a nevela. So right now, at this point in the Gemara, miut by itself is insufficient. But here's what the Gemara is going to do. Smach miut l'chazak of Esrei l'ruba. What we're going to do is as follows. We're going to take the miut of Rav Meir, which Rav Meir takes into consideration. We're going to couple that miut with also a chazaka. What's the chazaka? Before the animal shechta, you know what the animal is? Aser. Right? It's an enoshchuta. It's Eiver Menachai. Right? That point is a little bit open for discussion. But what I could say definitively, it's aser while it's alive. And so therefore, I have the chazaka of Isser. Obviously, that means that status continues until we know definitively that that status was changed. It was shechted by chereshot of a katan that went unsupervised. Even if it's a miut, that means now that I have a chazaka of Isser, coupled with the miut of Rebbe Meir, who gives credence and significance to a miut. And what comes out now over here? Smoch miut l'chazaka of Isser l'ruba. And so now, when we say that most of the time the shechita was a good shechita, but not here, because against the rov I have chazak and miut. Meaning it's a really interesting equation according to Rav Meir. Meaning usually chazaka versus rov. Which wins? We learned that in the beginning of the Masechta. Ruba v'chazaka, ruba adif. Rov beats chazaka. But if I have chazaka plus miut, but when I say miut, I mean Rebbe Meir's miut, because Rebbe Meir gives significance to the miut. So when I have chazaka plus miut, so that's going to be greater than rov. It's an interesting equation. Now, the Gemara first and foremost says that we know that this is true vis-a-vis Rav Meir. Did none. We have a Mishnah. Tinuk shenimtza betzada isa batzik biyado. I have a child. There is a piece of dough in his hands. And did this child play around with tumah? Children are in the garbage. They're picking up shratzim. They're playing with it. It's alive. It's dead. In other words, it's a child. And so as a result of that, the child may be tameh. The dough may be tameh. Rabbi Meir matarva chachamim matamim. Rabbi Meir says it's tar, and the chachamim say that's tummy. Now it's not perfectly clear from this mission whether the tumma tahara is going on the child or going on the dough, but in any event, the Gemara just wants to make one point, and that is, why is it that according to Rabbi Meir, the child is tahor or the dough is tahor? Mimnei shadakar shel tinuk l'tafeach. Because now, I'm sorry, the chachamim matamim mimnei shadakar shel tinuk l'tafeach. So according to the chachamim, the svara is actually given in the Mishnah. Look at the general behavior of a child. A child will pick up pretty much everything. And the child probably picked up a sheretz, and the child is probably tummy. Good. What's behind Rabbi Meir? The Amrinan, my tummy de Rabbi Meir. So on this, we need the Gemara's discussion. But the Gemara gives a very clear discussion. Good. I know, I agree the vast majority of children are there in the garbage and picking up little shrutzim. But some do not. Some children are at peace and don't need to pick everything up. I know. I haven't found that one either. But wait, just wait, one second. Let's just finish the thread. The Isa zu becheskas tahara omedes. And as far as this dough is concerned, so the dough had a cheskas tahara. And so what are we going to do now? So we're going to do exactly what we did, what the Gemara suggested just a moment ago. We're going to take the meat of Reb Meir, we're going to take the chazaka of the dough, we're going to put them together, and they're going to override the rove. So smoke me to the chazaka of Israel Ruba. So what we now have just discovered, that according to Reb Meir, if I have a chazaka plus a meat, that is going to be greater than a rove. Over here, for Reb Meir and the shechita, so why don't we make that very straightforward argument? It's the same argument. Take, in other words, what happened when this mentally incompetent person shechted the animal? We don't know. And we had just a moment ago that according to Reb Meir, rove maaseh mukukalim. Well, the vast majority of the time, they're makalko. We don't have to go that far. We could say that according to Reb Meir, even if it's a miut. Let's take the miut, let's add it to the chazaka that this animal is usser, because it was alive. And now I'll take the mir, I'll add to the chazaka, and that should be greater than rove. Good? And so it's a, meaning, by the way, we're not moving off our position. Meaning for Reb Meir, it's definitively not good. What the Gemara wants to know is, why did Reb Meir have to go so far to say that the majority of the time the kids are destructive, or the cheir shen shota are destructive? We don't even need to say that. To which the Gemara answer, really interesting answer. So imam rusafik tuma l'tahir, Yom Rusafik Isser Lahatir. Look, by Tumah Tahara, so there is, it's obviously following a certain matrix, following a certain pattern of rule. The Gemara says, but that doesn't necessarily follow in suit with Isser Veheter. Isser Veheter and Tumah Tahara are not guided by the same rules necessarily. I'll give you a wonderful example. Safik Tumah Berushos Arabim. Safik Tumah Berushos Yachid. Those rules are specific to Tumah Tahara. They do not bleed over into the rules of Isser Veheter. So over here, we're talking about having a discussion of Isser Veheter. Can we eat the animal? Is the animal definitively in Avela? Or is it just questionably in Avela? Do we do Kisu Adam? Do we not do Kisu Adam? All these issues are Isser Veheter issues. Masha'en Kain, it's true. The Mishnah you quoted in Rameir says that the child and the doe is Tahor, and it's based on the Miut plus Chazaka. So that's Tumah Tahara. Good, and leave those rules in Tumah Tahara. They don't necessarily spill over into the world of Isser Veheter. Okay. On Peivav Amud Beis, continuing in the Gemara. Hora Rabbi Meir, I'm sorry, Hora Rabbi Kareb Meir, Hora Rabbi Kechachamim. Good. So I have a mentally incompetent person shucking an animal. The Shechita is not good. How not good is it? According to Rabbi Meir, it's definitively not good. According to the Chachamim, it's a Suffolk. Good. Where does Rabbi Yehuda Nasi stand on this issue? So he passes like Rabbi, and he passes like Reb Meir, and he passes like the Chachamim. Now, obviously, that's impossible. In other words, they're arguing with one another. So if you're going to choose a side, you got to choose one side. So that leads, obviously, to a problem. So what happened, the Gemara gets it. The Gemara understands that. What happened is that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi considered both the positions. And at one point, he followed one opinion, and at another point, he followed another opinion. Now, the Gemara generally assumes that the opinion that he holds second is the one that we're going to land on. Because what Rabbi Yehuda Anasi had time to consider, deliberate, and so if he's changing his position, so that means that that's the one that he holds like. And so all we're going to do right now is just figure out which opinion of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi did he give number two. Haiminayu da achraisa. Which one was the latter position of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi? Tashma de Rabbi Abba Bered Rabbi Chia Bar Abba Rabbi Zera Havakaima Bishukat de Kesari da Pischa de Bei Medrasha. So we have two Amorayim standing outside the base medrash. Nafak Rabbi Ame Ashkechino. Rabbi Ame comes outside, leaves the base medrash, and discovers these two Amorayim, and he's really upset. Amaluhu Lava Minaluchu Be Idam Bei Medrasha Lotakino Avrai. don't be outside of the base measure during Seder. Now, I always feel, by the way, whenever the Gemara relates stories like this, there's stories behind the story, meaning why were they necessarily outside? Something happened. I firmly believe it. I don't have good evidence, but something must have happened. But whatever the case is, so Rabbi Ami's rebuking these Amoraim, don't be outside the base medrash. Somebody's going to need you. Vasili Trude, and they're not going to be given answers to their questions. And so please come inside. Rabbi Zera al Rabbi Abba lo al. And so Rabbi Zera accepts the invitation / Musar. He goes inside, and Rabbi Abba does not go inside. And again, there's got to be more behind the story. Yasvi v'kami ba'ilahu. And now inside the base medrash, here's the discussion. Hai minay achraita. So he says, of the Rabbi Yehuda Anasi ruling regarding a shechita of a mentally incompetent person, is that definitively no good, i.e. Rabbi Meir? Or is it just suffix no good, i.e. the Chachamim? And which position did Rabbi Yehuda Anasi hold as his later position, and later an accepted position? Amalu Rabbi Zera lo shafkitan li ishayla l'saba, dil mashmiyale me avua. So he says, well, don't stop me, meaning I got to go back outside. I got to speak to Rabbi Abba. He knows the answer. Daishayla saba, dil mashmiyale me avua, because maybe he asked his father for avua mine de Rabbi Yochanan. And it could very well be that his father knew from Rabbi Yochanan. And the Rabbi Chia bar Abba called Talsin Yom HaKamahadu Tamud HaKamah de Rabbi Yochanan. In fact, they had a Chazara Seder every 30 days where they were Chazar Kol HaTorah Kula. And yeah, I know. It's impressive. And they would Chazar Kol HaTorah Kula. But in other words, once you know it, Chazara is much easier. But it's still really impressive. So anyway, fine. And that's where the story ends. And it's an interesting story, and it didn't get us anywhere. Because we don't know. But it is an interesting story. So my Havi Allah Tashma Deshalach Rabbi Elazar Legola Hori Rabbi Kerebi Meir. So we have now the following, where he passes like Rabbi Meir, meaning Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. The Hakura Bananami already. Now he also passes like the Chachamim. Allah Shmamina Had Achrei Shmamina. Yeah, but if we are now sending out letters and psakim to the galus, we now know for sure that his psak of Rameir was a later psak and the one that he landed on. So as far as Rabbi Yehuda Anasi is concerned, so he passed like Rameir, a mentally incompetent person, shechting an animal, the shechita is vadai, not a good shechita, vis-a-vis kisar adam, there's no mitzvah kisar adam, vis-a-vis osef aspano, there is no iser to shech the offspring on the same day, because vadai, the shechita was not a good shechita, that is Rabbi Meir, and that's Rabbi Yehuda Anasi paskening like Rabbi Meir.